Welcome to the 370th episode of Travel Itch Radio, the show that lets you scratch your lust for travel from the friendly confines of your home. I'm your host, Dan Schlossberg, along with my terrific co-host, Keita Roberts, also known as Girl Carnivore, because of her creative and colorful culinary expertise.
We know that many of you can't travel yet, but we also know that things will change, hopefully sooner rather than later. In the meantime, we're continuing this weekly show of half-hour armchair travel so that we can take you back to those good old days and help you understand that they are coming back soon.
Tonight, our guest is Sue Stringer, Kansas Byways and Kansas Agritourism Manager in the Kansas Department of Wildlife, Parks, and Tourism. I don't know how you fit that title onto a business card, Sue, but welcome to Travel Itch Radio. We're happy to have you.
Thanks. It does fit on a business card. I do have them.
Okay. First of all, congratulations on the awards won by Kansas Byways. Please tell our listeners what they are.
Okay. I'd be happy to. Actually, the awards were given out by the National Scenic Byway Foundation, which is a support organization for all of the byways across the United States. Several years ago, the funding stream from the National Scenic Byway Program kind of lapsed, and a lot of the resources that were available kind of went by the wayside, and so the National Scenic Byway Foundation picked up in fulfilling some of those needs, and they have established these awards for the byways to apply for and given out for the folks that have done a good job in their communities. And so I'm very, very proud of our byways that we were able to receive three awards.
How new is the Scenic Byways program? When did it get started?
It started back in the early 90s, 1991, through the Federal Highway Transportation Program. Some of this is might be a little bit more detailed than people want to know, but it's really how the program started. It was kind of set off of the Lady Bird Johnson in beautifying the U.S. or making people more aware of what resources we had in the United States for scenic or historic routes, historic cultural drives, things like that. And so with the Federal Transportation Program called ICE-T, the National Scenic Byway Program was funded, and so all of the departments of transportation across the United States were able to adopt and bring this program to their state. And so we were very fortunate that Kansas did so, I would say in the early, probably about 92, 93, because our first byways were in the mid-90s.
How many scenic byways are located in Kansas, and who selects them? What role does the Kansas Department of Transportation have in this?
Okay, we have 12 byways in our state. And when I say scenic and historic, that doesn't mean the historic don't have nice scenic areas. But we call them, differentiate between them, because maybe it's more the history of the founding of the Old West or things like that. So we have of the 12 scenic byways, we have 9 that are scenic, or 12 byways, we have 9 that are scenic, and 9 and 3 is 12. 3 that are historic, and sorry, I had to do a little addition there. And the Department of Transportation, again, was the ones that started the program in the state of Kansas. And we've kind of gone a lot further with that, with other programs being involved. But the Kansas DOT are the ones that do it, helped fund it, started it with a consultant. They still do the signage. They do some funding to help promote the byways. We do a byways guide, and they help by that. They also do printing for us. So the DOT is very important in Kansas to the byways program. And who selects them? I could go ahead. The selection of them is a grassroots type program. And so in some states, the state said, Well, if you say, like, in Colorado, well, of course there's going to be a scenic byway through the Rocky Mountains, right, because it's beautiful. Or some states have said, we want to establish a byway here. Kansas, it's a grassroots effort. So the local community said, hey, we want to promote our community. We want to see some economic growth, and we'd like a byway to be here. So it starts with a local community sending us a letter saying, hey, look at us.
Well, having been on some of the roads in Kansas, I do think it's a beautiful drive. So they are scenic and historic. What are the federal guidelines to designate a byway as opposed to a highway?
Well, the federal guidelines are that they would have at least one of the six intrinsic qualities that the program says that a byway needs to have. And in Kansas, it has to be connected to some highway. Now, there can be scenic drives that are on, say, a gravel road. If you're familiar with Kansas roads, once you get off the highway, most of our county roads are going to be gravel, dirt, or sand. And so the intrinsic qualities would be cultural, historic, recreational, scenic, six of those that you would need to have some of those qualities and be able to point it out. Also in Kansas, you have to develop a corridor management plan. What are you going to do to help support this byway? Are your communities in agreement with the byway, the communities that it would traverse through? Because once a byway is established, federal law says that no commercial billboards can be put up. So it can become kind of dicey with some county government, city governments that say, hey, we need our billboard, so we have to have by resolution the acceptance with the local cities and counties that, yeah, we're good with this. We realize it'll be a plus for our community. And then write up the corridor management plan. It's actually about a two-year process in Kansas to become a byway. By the time you get public approval, you know, open meetings, things like that, to say, yeah, we're going to do this, but we're not going to tell you that you have to paint all your barns red or that we control your land, because there is no land management control with a byway.
That is good to know. We're talking this evening with Sue Stringer about Kansas byways. Dan?
Sue, what are the various regions of the state of Kansas covered by the byways program? I hear that part of the original Route 66 is included.
Yes, it is. We have a whole 13.2 miles of the original. And you say route, I say Route 66. Again, probably a rural thing. I grew up on a rural route, so that's the way I say it. We have based our byways program, try to get one in each physiographic region. So within the state of Kansas, we have the High Plains region, we have the Glacial Hills, Gypsum Hills, Little Ozark regions, and mixed grass areas, the Chautauqua Hills. So we've tried to get byways that feature all of these areas across the state. Far northwest Kansas has the Arickaree Breaks, which is some really beautiful rolling gulches and high areas. So we try to place the byways in those areas. And I say it's local. We do look to each region, though, to put a byway if the people are willing. If they're not willing, then we don't have a byway there. But usually the local folks are the ones that start it up and say, then we accent the assets of the area. So when I talk about the regions, again, it's the hills. Granted, we have a Gypsum Hills Scenic Byway, a Glacial Hills Scenic Byway. They kind of go with the name, the Flint Hills Scenic Byways, like that. So that's where we talk about the different regions of the area. And Route 66,
as you know. Do Kansas byways have interpretive signs explaining their significance?
Oh, yes. We were fortunate to get a grant a few years ago that we put up 39 locations of kiosks and interpretive panels that tell the story of the area. We did tell the story of Kansas through the byways interpretation. So it was First People, First Nations, Westward Ho, transportation people got here, how they moved, how they built, how they lived their lives. The immigrants that settled here. So we tell the story of Kansas through that interpretation. a big project, and you can see it as you travel the byways, our interpretation panels.
And how is the Kansas Department of Wildlife, Parks, and Tourism involved?
Well, that's who I work for. I used to work for the DOT, and that Department of Transportation, and that's when I started with the Byways Program. I've been working it since 2007, and I was transferred then to Wildlife, Parks, and Tourism with my position with the state, and manage the Byways Program now through Department of Transportation or Department of Wildlife, Parks, and Tourism. So I'm on the tourism side. With the interpretation program, we did a 20% match of a $1.6 million program to do that. I go out and do programs like this talking about the byways. I will talk to local communities. As a representative of the Byways Program, if they're interested in establishing in a new byway, and basically oversee it. I apply for grants through my job, and right now we're working on National Scenic Byway nominations through the Federal Highway Program, and so I have been reviewing and editing the applications. We have three byways that are applying, and that's kind of what my days have been filled with for the last week or so as they've turned them into us. So it's kind of a big deal. There hasn't been any National Scenic Byway named for well over 9 or 10 years, and there might not ever be again. So it's a big deal for people to be doing this at this point.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now let's talk about those three Kansas byways that had won awards from the National Scenic Byway Foundation. What awards did they win and why?
Okay. Well, the biggest award, I guess the best one, was the Native Stone Scenic Byway, which is located in the Kansas Flint Hills, and they applied for interpretation. So along the Native Stone Scenic Byway in the Kansas Flint Hills, and if you've traveled here before, the Flint Hills are a rolling area, one of the last remaining areas of the Tallgrass Prairie. So in the Flint Hills, when they first started establishing farms and lands in the region, and started dividing land up, stone fences were built in the area to say, okay, this is my property and this is your property, and landowners were paid 40 cents per rod, which is 16.5 feet, to build and maintain a 4.5 foot stone fence. So as you go through the area of the Native Stone in the Flint Hills, there's lots of rolling Flint Hill stone fences, and over the years these have fallen down gradually since 1867. So the Native Stone Scenic Byway picked as a project of theirs to rebuild the stone fences. So they do stone fence workshops twice a year. People pay a tuition of $100, and that's their big project. They have rebuilt over 27 areas of stone fences along their byway, and it's really pretty to see as you drive through the new stone fences. It's a dry stack rock, and it has really enhanced the area. The other two awards were for interpretation. One was a Land and Sky Scenic Byway. They are interpreting like the crops in the area, because they are the only agriculture byway in the U.S. And then the Nash, the overall Kansas Byways Program, received an interpretation award based on the interpretation project that I told you about a little bit earlier. So those were the awards.
That is really cool, actually. Now, given the current climate and the widespread lockdown and things like that, Kansas Byways, are they a good travel destination? Because obviously we're outdoors, we're moving, or how is that working for you guys?
It is working great. Kansas is open for business. And as I was reading through this and, preparing for this, I understand, listening to the national news, that probably the coasts are a little bit more locked down yet. I'm actually back to work in my office. So we have people that are going to work. We have people that are traveling. My husband and I have eaten twice in a restaurant over the last 2 weeks. Which is
what's a restaurant?
What's a restaurant? Yeah. So we are open for business. We have people. The byways are an excellent opportunity to get out and travel and see and go for if you want to do just a short one, a sunny drive, and travel one of the byways, or local hotels are starting to open back up and stay and make it a weekend trip. So, yeah, lots of wide open spaces here.
Tonight we're talking with Sue Stringer about Kansas byways.
And, Sue, what is a view shed? Is that what we call a scenic overlook here in the Northeast? Or are there frequent view sheds along Kansas byways?
Well, actually, the view shed is not a word that I would normally use, but it is a word that the Federal Highway Program uses a lot within their language. So it's if you get on a scenic overlook, it is the whole area that you see. So we have tried to establish our interpretive panels on pullouts or overlooks so that you have a great overlook of the area, whether it's over the Flint Hills or the Gypsum Hills or whatever. The view shed is the whole look of what you're seeing. So, yeah, it's similar, just a different catchword that they use.
And are most of your byways located near Kansas State Parks, and are the parks open for camping, hiking, and fishing?
We have several byways that do have a state park attached to them or as part of that drive. Some of them have some really great trails that are open for hiking, camping, and fishing. Our state parks never closed through the whole pandemic. So they have been a nice respite, and we've had wonderful weather since, gosh, pretty much it seems like this pandemic started when I was working from home. It was hard to work from home because it was so nice outside. And so it's we live close to a state park, and they have been packed, which, you know, part of me is like, okay, people, social distancing here. We need to be doing this when you have campers parked right next to each other. But fishing's been great. People are getting out there hiking. We have some linear trails, state parks, and bicycles. There's no bicycles left in the stores. I've heard people want to get kayaks. There's no kayaks available right now because everybody's getting out and doing the type of exercise that they can enjoy but is different than what they normally do. So, yep, state parks are wide open. A great place to get out. The birding's been wonderful. We've had Baltimore Orioles in our yard, Cardinals. People have been sharing pictures of them. So the state parks are great to get out to.
As a fan of being outdoors every single day, I am totally itching for all of these toys to go on sale after everybody goes back to work. We've already established that there is some new things in the work and that the municipalities do have an opportunity to give suggestions. So, Dan, what's your next one?
Okay. Kansas is called the breadbasket of the world and the sunflower state. Can out-of-state visitors get a good flavor of both by traveling Kansas byways?
You know, it is a great way to be able to get out and see our rural communities along the byways. Some of them have more farmland than, say, the Flint Hills that have the rolling tallgrass prairie area. That's mostly for cattle. I guess, yeah, that's breadbasket because our beef is very important in the state. Right now, the wheat is starting to turn. It's golden yellow, so the waving wheat in the wind is like an ocean that just goes back and forth, and it is about time for harvest of the wheat, which is how we earn the breadbasket name. You see a lot of corn raised in Kansas as well, and again, our beef and bison. Bison are out. More people are becoming bison farmers. I would say buffalo, which more people are familiar with that word, but it's actually bison now.
Bison.
So
yeah.
We feed people. There's signs that say one Kansas farmer feeds over 38 daily. So, yeah, we are the breadbasket of the world. Sunflowers, you're going to see them more in August and September along the roadways, and most Kansas roadways will have wild sunflowers, but we do have a lot of agritourism businesses that have sunflower festivals. So, yes, they're out there and along the byways.
the last time I was in Kansas, it was to work with some of your amazing, talented beef ranchers and farmers. And it is such a great story of American history. So the Land and Sky Byway, does that also roll into the story of agriculture in the state of Kansas?
Oh, very much so. And as I said earlier, it's the first and only agritourism, agriculture-based byway in the nation. And we did that because I have been on so many air flights. So I fly out of Kansas City, and say if I go to Denver or anything to the west, as you go across western Kansas from the sky, you see these big circles. And I sat next to people and heard them say, what are those circles on the ground? You know, are those, you know, what are they? Well, they are pivot irrigation. And the land in western Kansas, they don't have as much water, rain water, and so they irrigate. And most of the irrigation is set up on a pivot. So it goes at a circle where they grow their crops. And so you get these large crop circles. And there's nobody that can tell the story better of what Kansas agriculture is about than our Kansas farmers. And the western Kansas area, as people come in to the state, they see these crops, but they don't know what they are. They see maybe cattle or the bison again, and they don't know what they are. I get calls to say, what are the big round circles out that I'm seeing out in the fields? That I'm kind of like, okay, is it a silo? Where? Tell me about it. Well, we have what are called big bells in Kansas. So when they mow and bale the hay, they put it in big bales that are like 6 foot across, and you'll see a whole field of them, hundreds of big bales of hay that will feed the cattle. So we wanted to tell the story. Agriculture is important to our state, so it was a good way to tell it through this byway.
You're listening to Travel Witch Radio with Dan Schlossberg and Keita Roberts. Listen live on iTunes or blogtalkradio.com, or check out the archive show on Facebook. And we're talking tonight with Sue Stringer about Kansas byways. Keita?
So as the beef eater and culinary half of the broadcast team, I would love to hear about your favorite foods in Kansas, especially where they tie into these scenic byways.
Oh, we have some wonderful restaurants, and of course the local food movement has been really big in our area. I assume it is across the United States, especially now with the pandemic that we're in. People want to know more where their food comes from. So our farmers markets, our beef raisers, there's a Facebook page called Shop Kansas Farms. And so a lot of these folks are connecting closer with the actual farmer, buying their beef directly from the farmer. There's the beef shortage, so you can't find it in the store and buying it from the farmer. Some of my favorite things in Kansas, chicken fried steak with white gravy over it, mashed potatoes. Excuse me, just a second. Barbecue is great in Kansas. As you get into some more of the kind of the cultural areas, Bear Rocks, which is bread with a hamburger and cabbage over the top. And then we raise also dry beans in Kansas. So our dry beans in areas that people would go and have a soup bean feed, things like that. So those are some of the specialties. You can get into more of the cultural areas that have kolaches things and those things. But Kansas beef, a good old ribeye steak fresh off the grill. Can't beat it.
Sounds good to me. Well, Kansas byways reflect the legacy of Native Americans who once lived there?
Yes, we have. Through the interpretation, it was part of my goal to be able to tell the story a little bit more of our native Kansans and how we've always heard, say, the white man's story of what happened to the Native American. But we have some areas along some of our byways where we have dug deeper into what the heritage was, and, you know, we change up terminology to where so much not a battle that took place between the Indians and the local folks, and you try to soften that language and get the stories told that, you know, we were coming onto their land, and try to tell it in a different way. So most of our byways, Kansas did have a lot of Native Americans settled here prior to Western civilization. And so we do our best to tell the stories. We do have some reservations, a couple of reservations in Kansas, although none of them are on any of the Kansas byways. But we have done our best to tell that story.
Okay, Keita, why don't you go down to your next question?
Yes, sir. So Kansas State Parks have a great reputation as quiet places to walk and hike and bike and exercise, especially now during this social distancing era, despite, well, I'm hoping that maybe they're still doing that. You've said that maybe you've seen some few people a little bit too close. But is it true that parks are reporting people drive out and stay in their car or just driving in the scenery?
You know, I was going to ask you, are you talking about them staying in there, sleeping in their cars? I haven't seen that so much. They definitely are bringing their UVs out and they are driving around the lakes and enjoying the areas that there are to see. Early in the season when the pandemic first hit, it was prime bald eagle time and a lot of the eagles were having their babies or chicks. And so we were driving around the lake a lot in our car just watching the eagles. And so, yep, we see other people out driving around and there are a lot of people out enjoying the state parks with camping and hiking.
That has been one of the bonuses of this time is the amount of time we've all spent appreciating what we have right here in front of us. Tonight we're talking with Sue Stringer about Kansas byways. Dan?
Okay, with time running out, Sue, just a couple of quickies here. When you travel, do you try to take in scenic byways in other states to compare notes?
Yes, I do. I have been on byways in several of the states, especially our surrounding states. And then Route 66, I've traveled even to the end, Santa Monica in California, and gone out on the pier.
And closer to home, we understand the state of Kansas is encouraging people to continue to explore the state virtually. Could you let our listeners know what's going on?
Well, with our byways, we have videos on YouTube. You can go to Kansas Byways and watch our Kansas Byways videos. We also have some great drone photographers that have some wonderful videos of the byways out there or just the state of Kansas. That's the best way that I know to enjoy it virtually is look up some of those things and see them. You can go to the Kansas Byways website, ksbyways.com, and check out either the videos or just the pictures that are there.
Keita, last question.
Yes, sir. So, is Kansas well known for its wide open spaces, obviously,
mm-hmm.
that you guys are promoting on social media? And what is that distamine that you guys have created?
Well, it was kind of a little bit earlier in the pandemic where everybody was staying very close to home. So it was an idea of share your pictures that you've taken, whether it's just now and you're out traveling or maybe from years past, just to remember some of the opportunities that we had to get out. Now that people are getting out more, take your live pictures and enjoy it. So we knew we couldn't meet together, but we can still do it from a distance over the Internet.
Okay, Sue, how did Travel with Radio... How do Travel with Radio listeners learn more about Kansas Byways?
KSByways.com is our website. YouTube channel, we have Kansas Byways. We're on Pinterest, Flickr, the pictures out there. I am happy to talk about Kansas Byways anytime anybody wants to listen to me. Obviously, you can tell that. Very proud. I am a born and very proud of my heritage and the things that we have to do and see in Kansas. We are not just a drive-through state.
Okay,
very
our guest
much
tonight
a lot
has
of
been
things
Sue Springer,
to do.
Kansas Byways and Kansas Agritourism Manager for the Kansas Department of Wildlife, Parks, and Tourism. Thank you, Sue, for joining us on Travel Itch Radio.
Thank you for the opportunity. Love it.
And as a father myself, I'm well aware Father's Day is coming on fast, June 21st. There's no better gift than my book, The New Baseball Bible, an unorthodox illustrated history that's not only the most unusual baseball book ever published, but costs less than a Starbucks. Such a deal. Next week, we'll be talking with Libby and Andrew White of Travel Jar, something new and exciting. Now, this is Dan Schlossberg and Keita Roberts saying thank you for your time. This time, until next time, good night and stay safe.